This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
What's on your mind? The most listened to radio program on the Northern Plains. Thanks for listening, friends. I'm Scott Hinnon. Todd, the radio god Mitchell, is here. Monday, University of Mary, and we will chat with President James Shea and Jerome Ricker, the Vice President of Public Affairs. They're looking forward to that. So that is Monday on the program. Tuesday, we are going to do the Top Cops. Dave Todd, Fargo Police Chief, Dan Donlin, the Bismarck Police Chief, talking current crime stats in their respective cities, answering any of your questions. Wednesday, the EPA Administrator, Scott Pruitt, the former Attorney General of Oklahoma and one of the stars of the Trump cabinet, will be in Grand Forks and at Fargo, and we'll be live with him on Wednesday on the program. Congressman Kramer, Thursday this week because of the Pruitt visit. And Doug Goring will join us, North Dakota Commissioner, talk about the hay lottery. Working on the following week with Governor Burgum and some other things in the works. So lots going on, ladies and gentlemen, in the What's on Your Mind world. And we appreciate you so much for allowing us to say we have the most listened to radio program on the Northern Plains. I ran across a story online that caught my attention not long ago about a trip to Norway. Maybe it was because I was in Norway. That was it. I was Googling Norway, and this came up. Norway and North Dakota. And I found a story about fall of 2015 when two officials from our North Dakota prison system, including the chief, the director of the North Dakota Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation, Leanne Birch, were in Norway. And they were there with other industry officials taking a tour of what has been called the world's most humane prison. In Halden, Norway. And it's a very interesting story about people very confident, certainly in the work we were doing here in North Dakota, but at the same time saying, you know what? We're hurting people. We got to do something a little bit differently. And North Dakota is blessed in that, obviously, with our lower population, we don't have a huge prison population. About 240 prisoners per 100,000 residents. South Dakota would be about double that. National average is about 670, but Norway's rate, by the way, is 75. Now, what works in Norway is not going to work in North Dakota, the United States of America, but it's obviously if you can learn a thing or here or there, it's interesting. So we received a call from a listener who had a question, and that prompted the tickler on the article I'd read and said, you know what, we'll invite Leanne Birch to join us on the program. So she joins us now to talk about this effort. Leanne, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
I think we were last together in Watford City with a new prison opening up there. It's a busy time in North Dakota where we do have additional needs, but I always say we're blessed because we could be a few other places with bigger challenges, but appreciate your leadership there. Always hear good things about it, and thanks for taking a little time to chat with us today.
Sure.
So let's start with this call that came in that sort of prompted all this. We do something called our Delta One call. Does it all call of the day and pick out a particular call. And this one today we'll use for our friends at Delta because it pertains to the topic at hand here, and I'll play it for you. By the way, Delta Constructors brings you this feature. Find out more about them at deltaconstructors.net or call Eric at 406-250-8151. Oil companies, world-class turnkey services for the job site. Once the rig comes off, call these guys. Go to work. 406-250-8151. Here's the call. Mike and Minot, what's on your mind?
I think there's trying to be some changes in the correctional system in North Dakota. Currently, I think county jails are only allowed to hold inmates for 365 days, and then they have to be, if they're sentenced for longer than that, they have to go to the penitentiary. So I think there's a movement from Bismarck to make that change that they're held in the counties, and then the counties pick up the cost for that prisoner once they're convicted instead of being in the penitentiary where the cost is covered by the state and all the people in North Dakota. So I don't know how much that might be true, but just thought I'd pick it out there.
All right. Appreciate the call from Mike. And what's the answer to that question, Lynn?
So during the last legislative session, there was a lot of legislation called Justice Reinvestment to reform some of the criminal justice system, particularly long sentences, overly punitive sentences, because frankly, over the last 20 years, the correction system has, the number of people we've locked up has grown by about 250%, even though our population has only grown about 18.8%. We've been in a jail building binge over the last 10 years. The counties have spent over $260 million in the last 10 years building. So I think the legislators and policymakers recognize that we're not going to build our way out of this and that we need to do some things differently. So a compilation of bills were passed, some cut minimum mandatories down, some reduced some of the lengths of sentence. But probably one of the biggest things that they did is recognize that corrections is a finite resource, both at the state level and the county level. So at the state level, basically, they passed what's called the inmate prioritization plan, recognizing that if we just continue to allow what's been happening, and just allow unfettered access into the prison, that we'll go bankrupt. The fact of the matter is they gave us that authority that basically says to the State Department of Corrections that once we reach maximum operational capacity and appropriated amounts for contracted housing, that we are to prioritize admissions of inmates into the system. So basically the thought is to prioritize first the most dangerous, the most riskiest individuals, and eventually take all of them when they're sentenced, but there may be a delay. But the legislatures also gave the county the same authority, recognizing that there's an overuse of jails at the local level and that we have an extremely high average of individuals sitting in the county jails that are pretrial detention. And frankly, all the investment has gone into high-end, high-cost jail beds with very little investment at the local level in alternatives to incarceration that could actually be a much more cost-effective, a much better public safety avenue, and much better for people if they would actually redirect some of those funds to some of those alternatives. So basically, that's what the legislature did. And so it really isn't going to be undue pressure to the counties because they're given that same authority, but the counties are going to have to step up and actually do a little bit more thoughtful planning and work rather than just funding jails. So the encouragement is to fund a corrections budget, not just a jail budget.
So basically, it sounded to me like his concern was this is the state dumping on the counties. You know, you do it. You fill your jails so we don't have to worry about it. But you're saying that's not happening. This is more self-inflicted because of who's being sentenced and the obviously prisoners they might be taking from elsewhere to get a rental fee or something. Other reasons for it, not the state pushing them that way?
So, no, this is actually a great opportunity for the counties to reexamine what they're doing. So, because they gave us this authority, instead of having to put millions of dollars more into the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation budget that would have gone to merely just warehousing individuals waiting to come into the prison system where they can access services, they would have just been warehoused. And we were providing actually with that concept a perverse incentive for actually some individuals to be sentenced to the State Department of Corrections that should actually just probably serve a much shorter sentence in a local county jail. And basically recognizing that if the State Department of Corrections prisons were full, that we would be forced to actually then send them back out to the county jails where we then pay for them to stay in the county jails. So the legislature decided that was probably not a good use of taxpayer dollars, and so they gave us this authority. So they redirected that $7 million, which we will not expend just on warehousing individuals that are overflow to the system, and they redirected that $7 million into a community behavioral health services. So basically targeting, moving that money upstream. And so that $7 million is going to be used to pay for a partnership between the Department of Corrections and the Department of Human Services Behavioral Health Division, where we can use that money to fund behavioral health services with private providers across the state, so that a number of those people that would otherwise be driven into the prison system can hopefully stay out of the prison system and access services. During the interim with the study on the prison system, a survey done by the Council of State Governments indicated that 70% of the district court judges indicate they send low-risk, nonviolent individuals into the Department of Corrections prison system just to access treatment services. And that's not good for anyone when we're getting low-risk, nonviolent people that are having to be forced into prison to access services that are not available in the community. It takes them away from any stability they might have in their local community, tears them out of their family, takes them away from their employment, probably losing their housing. So we're actually doing much more damage to deal with one problem.
But it sounds like we have a problem if 70% need access to treatment, but are getting it through the wrong way, as you very
right.
Correctly point out. There has to be another way or a form on the other side of that as well to deal with that. Hang on, if you would, we'll take a break. Come back with more of our conversation today on What's on Your Mind with the director of the North Dakota Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. We'll get to the Norway example and what from Norway works in North Dakota and is being implemented over these last couple of years, and also some of the other things on the addiction front as well. Big part of incarceration. More coming up on What's on Your Mind.
Serving the Northern Plains, this is What's on Your Mind. Back to more of your calls straight ahead.
MBI Energy Services is hiring all throughout the Bakken. If you're looking for a rewarding career in the energy industry with an established North Dakota company, look no further than MBI Energy Services. Serving the Williston Basin and beyond since 1979, MBI offers comprehensive training, excellent pay, great benefits, and a variety of work schedules. Join a team that's in it for the long haul. Apply with MBI today. Visit MBIEnergyServices.com or call 844-MBI-JOBS to set up a same-day interview. 844-MBI-JOBS.
Central Steel Building and Construction in Carrington is your source for the outstanding Shivers Performance System. Shivers' revolutionary CompuDry Command Center is a fully automatic computerized control offering you precision, control, efficiency, and capacity, assuring your grain is dry to your exact specifications. Minimize your drying costs and maximize your profits. Let Shivers handle your grain. Check out your Shivers system today at grainstuff.com or call 701-652-2886. Central Steel Building and Construction, your source for Shivers Performance System.
Welcome to Soybean Minute with Diana Biedelsbacher.
We are often asked what the difference is between the North Dakota Soybean Council and the North Dakota Soybean Growers Association. The council and the association are two different organizations with one focus: to ensure the success of North Dakota soybean farmers. Both groups serve this purpose in different ways. The Soybean Council collects and invests soybean checkoff dollars in such areas as production research, producer education, and programs designed to increase demand and expand markets for soybeans and soy products. The Soybean Growers Association is a statewide, member-driven organization that focuses on state and national policy issues, which by law the checkoff cannot do. They conduct legislative activities in Bismarck and Washington to improve the profitability of their members and the entire soybean industry. For more information, visit our website at ndsoybean.org.
This message is brought to you by the North Dakota Soybean Council and the Soybean Checkoff.
Welcome aboard. Your new science fiction adventure is ready to launch. Discover an amazing journey at GalaxyQuestBooks.com. Start a new sci-fi adventure with the Guardian series, a classic sci-fi mystery that starts 500 years in the future. From author D. Arthur Gussner. Series available from Barnes & Noble or Amazon as paperback or ebooks. GalaxyQuestBooks.com, where the adventure begins.
If there's a toxic chemical biological gas smoke emergency while traveling at home or on your job, are you protected? Are you prepared? There are over 400,000 fires in the USA every year. Up to 85% of all deaths in a fire are due to smoke inhalation. 3 minutes without air and we as humans will die. Be prepared and escape safely with our Safe Escape smoke hoods, giving you up to 60 minutes of breathable air protection. Order yours online at ase-safety.com. That's ase-safety.com. And get up to 40% off plus free shipping.
There you go.
Born through a party in the county jail. The prison band was there, they began to wail. The band was jumping and the joint began to swing. You should have heard the knocked out jailbird sing. Let it rock. Everybody let it rock. Everybody in old jail pop. Who's dancing to the jailhouse rock?
you for an Elvis kind of guy, Todd. I hope I did okay there.
Oh, you did fantastic.
Is that better? Okay. Todd, a little concerned about my music bumper selection skills with that cow song earlier. Back doing the jailhouse rock here today with Leanne Birch, the director of the North Dakota Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. I want to talk a little bit about Norway. And this trip fascinated me, not least of which because I was just there. And there are some things that cause you to scratch your head a little bit. And I've not turned into a mushy liberal since I was there. But there's some things that, you know, I mean, people say, oh, look at the roads. The roads are so nice. I say, yeah, look at your tax bill. You're paying for those roads. I mean, we can have those roads too. But, you know, there are things that you can sit there and say, okay, they've got a, you know, a few years on us. Let's sit back and let's listen. But one of the things I read in the article about this was the line where you and your colleague came back and said, hey, we've got some goals here. We're going to treat prisoners like human beings. Thank you very much. I mean, that's common sense. But be nice. Be fiscally responsible. Be a good neighbor. And the one that stuck out with me was be nice. Because I think it would challenge most people in this audience to say, you've got some of the worst in North Dakota in there, and your prison system is going to be nice to them. Explain what Norway did in the way of sort of changing your view of how we treat prisons.
So, you know, we came about going on this trip because the prison law office in California decided they sue prisons to make them do things better, and they decided to use some of the money they'd made off of suing some prison systems that weren't doing so well to actually show administrators and states a different way of doing things that was actually very effective. And so we applied, and we took a team from North Dakota, included Senator Holmberg, Judge Foudy, myself, the head of the state hospital, and a colleague of mine. And, you know, I really wasn't expecting to see something that dramatically different, but we did. And Norway, I think, is about 20 years ahead of where we were or where we might be going. 20 years ago, they were in a point where their recidivism was soaring. It was over 70%. Their prisons were full and overcrowded, lots of violence. They'd had two staff members murdered. And they basically got together and they decided to start changing their criminal justice system, starting with the prison system, and ordered kind of a whole national government paper called Punishment That Works. And, you know, they basically decided that the only punishment in Norway is the loss of liberty. All other rights remain. And they developed their principles around normality, dynamic security, the import model, and progression. And basically, what they've seen over the last 20 years is a reduction in recidivism from 70% to 20%, and sometimes it's more of the prison, 16%. And so we're really not that different because we were facing some of the same challenges. They have different challenges than we have, but they also have some real similarities. So we decided that some of those philosophies certainly would work in our system. And so we tried to implement some of the things that we saw, in that one of the big things was normality. So if you try to make the system that you're in more normal internally, the transition when they come out is less difficult. And then, of course, violence begets violence. So if you can transition or transform the environment in which people are incarcerated, so instead of increasing the level of violence and where they're housed, we want to actually reduce violence. And that just makes common sense because, as they asked in Norway, how do you want them? How do you want your neighbor? Angry or not angry? And so we heard from not only Norwegians when we were over there, but we heard from people from Sweden, the UK, Germany, Ireland. I mean, so there were real leaders from across the European countries that were also had some experience in going through some transformations. And one of the things that, you know, we always hear is that prisons may sometimes do good, but they always do harm. And we came back and decided that we want to change our system to do less harm. And so how would we start doing some of those things? And so we really are focusing on the human, not just the risk and need. We're trying to create the environment where the interventions will work. We've spent a lot of money and effort trying to incorporate good programs that'll change people's behavior, but we're recognizing that's only going to go so far if the environment in where we were applying the intervention is still difficult, still violent, still overcrowded. And so we started to start changing some of the things and trying to make the institution less institutional, because we always see that with a number of people who have been here long term is that they stop making any decisions for themselves, and it's almost intimidating for them to think of themselves being free because they become institutionalized. So we recognize that's a huge challenge to try to reduce the institutionalization that the mere process of incarcerating someone does.
Is it working, what you brought back, and what kind of a difference is it making?
So one of the things I think it does is it changes the environment, and both not just for the individuals who are incarcerated, but for our staff, too. So the environment's less tense. One of the things I think probably the most success we're having is at our minimum security. It's obviously much more, it's much easier to implement some of these reforms in a less restrictive environment. So one of the things we did is we increased, we came back, we were looking at having to send inmates out of state because we were so overcrowded. And we recognized when we saw what they were doing on Bostoy Island, one of their open prisons over there, that perhaps we could actually increase capacity in our minimum security prisons. So we actually brought in what they call man camps. We call them transitional modular housing units. We brought in a 36-bed unit to expand capacity down at MRCC. The men who live down there, when they get to a certain point, can now wear their own clothing. They can actually apply and live in one of these units and actually have a more normal. They actually have a room to themselves, which is reducing kind of that institutionalization. And we were able to increase our work release by 400%. So the men who are coming out of there are really being less institutionalized. They're having more money in their pockets. They've paid off a lot of their restitution fines and fees, and a lot of them are leaving here with a good, stable job. And so I think some of those individuals will certainly have a lot lower risk of coming back to prison. So those are some of, I think, the big wins. Within our more secure prisons, I think what we're seeing is just more engagement between the staff and the individuals that are incarcerated. And so some of those pro-social interactions, I think, go towards reducing that criminal thinking and some of the ingrained behaviors that people come to prison. And it also reduces that us versus them. And we also, one of the things we are doing is trying to invite the community in, more connection with the community, so that 95% of everyone that is incarcerated within the Department of Corrections is going to be released. And we need the community to accept them back into the community, and so we want the community support there. The Department of Corrections only has a certain role, and then it's basically we need those community support.
We'll finish this on the other side of the break. More coming up on What's On Your Mind.
Listening to the program that asks a very important question every day. What's on your mind? 800-228-0550.
Welcome to another update on the radio history of the Dakota Access Pipeline. Recently, two protesters bragged about what they did, cutting into pipe, destroying construction equipment on the Dakota Access Pipeline, and they're calling for more of it, leading to the question, this isn't over, is it? Cody Schultz, Morton County Commissioner, and his take.
No, absolutely not, Scott. I think your analysis is shared by a number of state governments, county, city governments across the Midwest, specifically in the entire country. I can tell you since the end of the protest incident here, we've had inquiries ranging from Montana to South Dakota to as far away as Pennsylvania, hoping to talk to our subject matter experts, because unfortunately we became subject matter experts in this type of protest over the 8-month period. But that concern is shared nationwide.
That's Cody Schultz, Morton County Commissioner, our guest, with another Radio History of the Dakota Access Pipeline episode. Thanks for listening.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Elvis Friday, in case you didn't know.
Girl, 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 you're gonna set me on fire.
Woo! Yeah, that's Elvis. In case you didn't know, Todd, that is Elvis, the Elvis. There you go, exactly right. A little hunk of burning love. Now, the reason I selected Elvis and Burning Love, last break it was Jailhouse Rock, is because what Leanne just told us about inviting the community to be part of the role of corrections and rehabilitation for the prisoners it takes a little love. It takes a lot of love, you know, right? Because you know they're there for a reason where, you know, a jury or a judge or a court or whatever said they need to be there. And if they're the state pen, then, you know, it's some significant issues. So you really need to go in there. Now, allow me just one little moment. Here's a text from a listener in response to our previous segment. Leanne, really? Do they have quilting bees and stuff? What a sweet little bleeding heart. And I believe that texter is speaking for a whole lot of North Dakotans who see prisoners as prisoners that ought to be treated as prisoners and are challenged to think outside the box. You've done a good job of giving us an overview of what you saw in Norway and what your ultimate outcome is for them to leave. Most of them are going to leave. They go back, so we want to make sure that person is better when they go back wherever they're going. Why wouldn't you want to do that? Otherwise, they just come back, and otherwise they reoffend, and otherwise they're a true threat to people because they're not in a prison anymore. So, you know, I think we've got to get out of our box a little bit on this one and think a little bit about that. I mean, when you're talking about inviting the community in, you're literally saying, hey, people volunteer to come in and take a particular role within the prison in some form, Leah?
Sure. I mean, we've noticed we want people to interact with them basically before they come out. Some of those connections they make, basically if they make someone that's going to help mentor them when they come out, that's going to make the transition a little easier and hopefully keep them on the right path. We know when people come out of prison and they have nothing, they're likely to go back to their criminal ways and create more victims. That's the one thing that the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation does not want. We want fewer victims. We want public safety. And so even though the public is still in this very punitive mode, and we know by the research and by how the United States system has grown, it's grown and grown and grown. Our recidivism rates are high. And the fact of the matter is the prison system, the way that we've envision them and run them as far as being very punitive and inflicting punishment and locking them in there without much services is actually making communities a lot less safe. So what feels kind of like, oh, we don't want to do anything that's going to make their stay less harsh and less painful, that's really kind of a backwards way of thinking. That is probably good that those individuals aren't running the system, because we would increase the dangerousness in our state and certainly increase our violence in our prisons and make it really unsafe for people to work in our prisons. And it would make it unsafe for those individuals when they're coming out. Now, a number of them still do recidivate. A lot of them, that happens to be because they relapse, and a lot of them have drug issues. But we have a pretty good track record of not a lot of people going out and committing more acts of violence.
75% of people incarcerated in North Dakota have an addiction. Obviously, the efforts that are, I mean, Governor Burgum has made this a priority, along with First Lady Catherine. The legislature seems to be in agreement with the reforms you're suggesting, Leanne. Well, really, it looks like we're all focusing, sort of saying, okay, treatment rather than incarceration has to be utilized wherever possible, and recognize that this is definitely a disease. So that's certainly a part of this as well. But I think it's a good idea. I have friends that do prison ministry that I'm always riveted by the stories, mostly because if you're in prison, folks, think about it. You're at the bottom. You know, you're broken. You're at the end of your rope. That is fertile ground for grabbing onto something else and saying, I don't want to do this anymore. So to be part of that, I think is great. So you have prison ministry in the state system?
We do. We have a lot of, we have a robust prison ministry system in all of our facilities, and trying to increase the volunteerism that we already have going on. And frankly, prisons will always have a place, and they do have a place, but they have a place for really those people that are the most dangerous and need to be incarcerated. But the prison system and the jails in our state have actually become kind of the default repository for individuals with addictions and behavioral health. And I think what Governor Burgum and First Lady Catherine are doing to decrease the stigma and increase the awareness that there's other ways to address addiction are really, really favorable and positive things to increase the our health of our communities. There's a lot of people that are accessing prisons and jail beds just because they have an addiction that is not being dealt with in the community.
And I would just say to my Christian friends in the audience, fellow Christians, what do you think Jesus would do? I'm not trying to preach to you. I'm just saying, before you think this is a horrible, awful, terrible idea, you don't have to go there yourself. But what do you think he would do? You're going to go, what did he always do? You know, went to exactly that element in society. That doesn't mean you think, what they did was okay. They're in jail, they're paying their price, and they're still human beings. They're still human beings. And I what I got out of your reforms, the Norway model to here is to say, this solitary confinement cage-like thing where you're throwing somebody in there and they're in there forever, not nearly as effective as saying, here's some rules, follow the rules, and you can live a little better. And if not, you're not going to have much in the way of freedom. Is that fair? Is that a good assessment of what you've taken away from Norway?
It is. It's to really look at what changes behavior, see if you can do things less punitively and make people less violent.
Yeah, I really think this is one where we as, I'll say, just sort of the stoic Scandinavian, just the stock of people here. You know, you think about the immigrants that come from Germany, they come from Sweden, they come from Norway, they come from all over, and they have a way of life that still is in all of us, obviously, right? From mm-hmm. Our ancestors that came from there, and take those roots. And you get into the way you are because the way you are. Sometimes you just got to go, okay, I'm going to dial that back just a little bit and take a look at another way. This is one area where I think we need to, as collectively as, and I'm putting myself in the same box, right? I've never volunteered in a prison. Maybe I should, right? I've admired people. I've been fascinated by the stories of, prison ministry, and the jail chaplains in Cass County do a phenomenal job. I've been over there, seen it, but not volunteered myself, not stepped out of that box. Maybe there's a way you can do that and see that and get under the hood here a little bit. But I applaud the legislature
the governor and the first lady, and Leanne, you and your team for thinking about a way to do it a little bit different. It's a fascinating conversation. By the way, is there a way to, a simple way to volunteer? Is there like a volunteer coordinator, or how does that work?
We do. We're in the process of actually bringing a new volunteer coordinator onto the state penitentiary. We have an opening in that. But even if you don't feel comfortable coming into one of our correctional facilities, being part of someone that would mentor someone and assist someone when they're coming out to provide those supports, lots of ways to do that. And, I have to indicate there's some great things happening in our community. For example, some of these sober living environments, those aren't funded by the state, but they're taken up by some funding with some churches. Mrs. Kayleen Wardner, the wife of Senator Wardner, was instrumental in starting a sober living house in Dickinson that helps women coming out of our prison system. And she's spent many years volunteering at the women's prison. So, I mean, there's a number of ways, even if you don't come into a correctional facility, you can be involved in some of these groups that provide support. Sister Atkinson has ministries on the margins, and she does a lot of work with individuals coming out of jails and prisons just to help them get started and maneuver some of the barriers and the difficulties people have once they just are released from prison or jail. And so there's all sorts of things, not just even in the institutions, that people could do to make that transition smoother.
A couple of questions from the audience that I would like to share with you. Shelley says, I appreciate what Leanne is saying about reintegration, especially the mental health and addiction components. What is being done with the sexual offenders in and out of the prison system?
Yeah, and that's a very challenging population because of the huge stigma, obviously, and the risk that some of them still pose. We have been fortunate to have some housing options for them so that they're not going out and being homeless. We do have a double-wide trailer for some of the individuals on the grounds of the penitentiary if they have no other living options. And then an organization called Redemption Road has actually been a huge service to some of those individuals where they actually have oversight in some of those housing units, and they do take some of those high-risk individuals so there is at least a living environment. And then we actually have an organization called STAND, and they provide continuing sex offender treatment to those individuals who are now in the community. So I think we've, over the years, developed some systems to increase the safety to the community and reduce the risk of those individuals once they do come out.
All right. Another, ask your guest what she thinks about reinstituting chain gangs, good, clean outdoor work.
Well, I do think that it's important for people to be productively employed. And so one of the things that we're looking at, not chain gangs, but certainly it would be nice to increase the work opportunities that individuals have while they're incarcerated. We do some of that through our Rough Rider Industries and through institutional jobs. But I think the next thing that we really need to tackle is bringing and providing relevant skills that are transferable to jobs on the outside to the people when they're incarcerated, and I think that would help increase their employment opportunities and reduce some of the temptations of going back to a criminal enterprise.
About a half a minute for your answer here. Another listener says, Scott, I worked in the prison system, 60 to 70% revolving door. That's what you're trying to change, though, right? Is that an accurate number, and is that what you're trying to change?
Well, we don't have quite that recidivism rate. We have about, our recidivism rate is right around 39%, so less than 40%. The national average is around 70%, but we'd like to decrease that substantially. So obviously they've done that in some of these countries that have taken a different approach. Norway was at 70%, now it's around 20%. It would be nice if we could get ours down to around 20% and have fewer people revolving through the system.
Fascinating conversation. Keep up the good work, and we appreciate the time today learning more about it. Thank you, Leanne.
Thank you.
All right, our guest on What's On Your Mind, the director of the North Dakota Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation, Leanne Birch. Take a break. Last chance at Are You Kidding Me? And a couple of Farm Bill Farm Fest clips.
You talk, we listen. Call 800-228-0550 and tell us what's on your mind.
It's a big month of Inner Office Furniture and Design, and Levi's here to tell us more about what is happening. Sounds like it's an exciting time, huh?
Of course, Scott. We always have something exciting going on at Inner Office. The month of August is no exception. We're actually having our showroom refresh sale. We always try to keep our best and newest trends on the floor, but have limited space and need to make room for some of the new things we saw at Neocon. So the entire month of August, we're going to be offering 50% off our showroom furniture. So we're looking at 50% off the lowest ticketed price. That's going to include our clearance items. In fact, we even have a few classic Aerons that you'll be able to purchase for around $225. Standard prices, we're usually looking $700 to $1,200.
This is the time to buy, folks. Desks, will they be available too?
Yeah, we have a few modular workstations available, and we even have a beautiful maple wood veneer desk in credenza. So if you have a small business or just starting out, the sale is right up your alley. You'll be able to get top-quality commercial-grade furniture at unbelievable prices.
And if you mention you heard this ad on the flag, an additional 10% off your showroom purchase, so you could receive a total of 60% off the items on the showroom, and this is some of the most innovative furniture you'll find anywhere. Stop on out to Inner Office Showroom Refresh Sale, August only. Get there early. Items won't last long, and don't forget to mention AM 1100 the flag. Inner Office Furniture and Design, downtown Fargo, InnerOfficeFargo.com, or call 232-3013.
Hi, I'm Peter Stendrum, president of First International Bank and Trust. From humble beginnings in 1910, our four-generation family-owned business has been delivering on our promise to help dreams come true, one customer at a time. Our style of banking places the focus on you first and your overall experience. We keep your best interests in mind and strive to provide smart financial solutions that improve and simplify your life. We're First International Bank and Trust. How can we help you?
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Are you looking to become more self-sufficient? Then you need to have your own energy source. The Solark EMP hardened generator is automatic, maintenance-free, and reduces your monthly electric bill. You can also take it off-grid when you go camping. Contact PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875 today. Portable Solar LLC gives you everything you need to start using solar energy in less than 1 hour. Solark EMP hardened solar generator energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today.
Message and data rates may apply.
Hi, I'm Frank Thomas. When I was playing ball, they called me the Big Hurt. But after I left the game, Mother Nature started putting a big hurt on me. I just couldn't stay in shape like I used to. Turns out, it wasn't my fault. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone, and that can make it harder to get into shape. But luckily, I found out about Nugenix.
Nugenix is a unique man-boosting formula powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help boost your free testosterone levels. Get a complimentary bottle now by texting PRIME99 to 42424. With Nugenix, you can feel stronger, leaner, with a lot more stamina and energy.
And guys, she'll like the difference too.
Nugenix is GNC's number one selling men's vitality product. Get a complimentary bottle now by texting PRIME99 to 42424. Nugenix samples are not available in stores. So again, text PRIME99 to 42424.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Tastes like Mexico.
Gonna put the world away for a minute, pretend I don't live in it. Sunshine gonna wash my blues away.
We got a little of sunshine today, but I think the rain would wash our blues away. We're upside down on the only song. Well, Zach Brown Band, they'll be on the stage tonight at Wee Fest, singing up a storm for. I wonder if he's going to bring Jimmy Buffett for this one, do you think?
There
you go.
Sun
back on What's on Your Mind, 10 before the top of the hour, and we continue on the program. Last thing I'm going to say about our attitude towards people who are in prison. First of all, I'm a law and order guy. You break the law, you pay the price. There's no doubt about it. But let's just be sensible about it. If once they break the law, they pay the price, and we give them to Todd, the prison warden, Todd's job is to say, okay, I have that prisoner now for 20 years. They're going to be out at some point. Do I want to put them in a box and have them be a monster after 20 years, or do I want them to be a productive member of society? And clearly what we're doing with those kind of recidivism rates is not working. And I just say, from me as a fellow human being and someone that has love for a fellow human being, whether I agree with them or not, whether they've broken the law or not, I'm going to say, please do everything in your power to get them back to be a productive member of society. That's all we're talking about here. I was amazed at the amount of, and I shared a good chunk of them, but there were several others that just flat out, you know, kill them, get rid of them, don't even, come on. Human being. Do you remember our little conversation from yesterday? Or a few days ago when we had this discussion about my favorite magnet, and then some people said, hey, that's, and it sort of snowballed, and all of a sudden we're saying, oh, that's a good idea. That's a good approach. That's the right way to go through life. Being kind to someone, giving someone a kind word, a smile, that can show a small, tiny little bit of an act of caring or compassion for someone can turn their entire life around. We agree on that? Then why wouldn't you want to do it where the worst of the worst are? I'm going to come out of my box and I'm going to volunteer there in some way. Or somewhere. She gave us a lot of good other ideas. I think it's good. Last chance to win the free MyPillow on Us with your Are You Kidding Me moment. Lay it on me. It could be about our previous conversation. It could be about something else. But the last 3 minutes of this program are all yours. So you got a minute each. Henry and Fargo, Joe and Lemon, Tom and Jamestown, take it away. Henry, go. You're on the clock.
Hey, my thing's a little different, but I was in the city with my Beamer at the dealership, sat next to a guy, said he worked for the governor. I said, oh, Christ, another lib, right? He turned out he was head of the Minnesota Correction Agency. He said you cannot reform sexual offenders. He said you spent 135 years ago, $135,000 to keep them a special deal, but normal is, you know, general pop is $35,000. Are you kidding me? He's claiming he's making millions now consulting with states saying that you cannot reform sexual offenders, but yet they keep wasting the money trying. Are you kidding me? Thanks.
That's an are you kidding me? Thank you, Henry. I'd love to know alternatives there, and maybe we're due to check in on Minnesota as well and how they're doing this compared to North Dakota and other places. Joe and Lemon, 1 minute, go.
Yeah, why don't we pull a page a bit from Joe Arpaio's book down in, what is it, Arizona? Maybe our cushions are a little too, or our prisons are a little too cushy for these inmates. Maybe it's not that big of an incentive to not commit crimes. Oh, you just go to prison, get 3 square meals a day, get treated just as well as you would in a nursing home. Really, it's not a very big incentive to not commit crimes, basically.
Yeah, interesting point. The previous caller, by the way, I don't think we're talking about, you know, rewarding sex offenders or you know, your point is how do you reform them, but we're not talking about sex offenders there. That's, yeah. She said, a very challenging part. It, to your point, that'd been a good question for her. I don't know. You know, is that part of the reason? Are 70% nationwide recidivism rate, why? Are they eating caviar? You know, let's find
not
out.
Exactly, no.
Yeah, I don't think so, but it's an interesting question, Joe. Thank you. Tom and Jamestown, last call of the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, my name is Tom, calling from Jamestown. I've been involved in a prison ministry for about 35 years. I've talked to hundreds of prisoners over that period of time. The only type of counseling, the only type of help that really works is when people admit that they made mistakes and they realize that they are going to be punished for their mistakes, but they also realize that you know, they've done something wrong against God. And in talking to prisoners over the years, just about almost to the man, tell me that a lot of these counseling programs from a secular nature do not work. But when they come to terms with, you know, with sin in their lives, then that's what changes things. And there are ministries out there that have been very, very effective, unfortunately, because of the way things are right now. they're not allowed in a lot of prisons, in a lot of jails, in a lot of states, and that's really too bad because that's really the only thing that works.
I am in appreciation of your call today, Tom, and appreciation of what you're doing in prison ministry, too. You're walking the walk. That's a neat deal. And, again, I just think it's good idea to ask yourself, you know, who else might be there in history? Who else am I joining there? You know, I could have a barbecue and, you know, sit in the backyard, or I could step out of my box a little bit and do this. I think it's pretty cool. Glad you're doing it, Tom. Thank you very much. A lot of great emails. The winner, by the way, of the free mind pillow, we're going to go with the Purina dog Walmart story. And I'm going to try and find out if that was real or if that was a joke. What do you think, Todd? What are you going to... Yeah.
Could be.
God bless you, folks. See you Monday.
What's it take to have a really good job? A company you like to work for, work worth doing, and a really nice paycheck every 2 weeks? Polar Service Center has one waiting for you right now. My friends at Polar Service Center, largest tank trailer manufacturer in North America, has service centers all throughout the country. And in Kildare, North Dakota, and Williston, North Dakota, they have some great positions open right now. With pay rates up to $32 an hour. I'll say it again, up to $32 an hour. Incredible benefit package and much, much more. Call Maria right now for details on this. In Kildare, certified welder, sandblaster, wash rack attendant, and diesel mechanic positions open right now. In Williston, they're in need of a certified welder. Polar Service Center is waiting. Tell your friends and neighbors about this incredible opportunity. 612-214-4781. 612-214-8781. Ask for Maria at Polar Service Center.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Everything you've been told about identity theft prevention is a flat-out lie. No one can prevent identity theft. No one. Go to LibertyID.com and use the promo code FREETRIAL for 60 days free. Cancel at any time. LibertyID is the industry leader in identity theft restoration. LibertyID fixes the fallout for you. LibertyID does all the work, but you have to be prepared. Go to LibertyID.com, promo code FREETRIAL, LibertyID.com.
Tyler, time to go for our family walk.
Just let me nap a little longer.
You promised we'd get more active.
I know. How come you're so ready to go?
It's Superberries Aronia Berries.
Aronia what?
Aronia Berries from Superberries.com. They're known for having one of the highest levels of antioxidants that helps with overall wellness.
Where'd you get them?
I ordered them from Superberries.com/radio, and right now we can get a free smoothie recipe book with our order. Plus, we can save $4 at checkout.
I can't wait to try them. I'll get the dog.
I'll get the kids.
Choose health. Eat purple. Superberries.com.
Are you one of the 15 million men who suffer from an enlarged prostate? If your life revolves around finding the closest bathroom, if you're tired of waking up many times a night to urinate, then you need to know about Prostate Miracle. Prostate Miracle contains beta-cytosterol, which is 3,000 times stronger than salt palmetto. To claim your $10 Patriot discount, go to prostatemiracle.com and enter promo code PATRIOT. Or call 877-965-2140. That's 877-965-2140.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. That's 800-535-7789.